Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your brother, Raheem. We are live and in full effect on Sunday, June the 10th. I'm smiling because I'm listening to my show from another device. And so I'm hearing myself live as I speak. So I hear myself the way you hear me. That's kind of interesting. Okay, normally we always start the show off talking about love, all right, because that's so important. We can't get, I'm going to have to switch this up again because it's a little strange. Hold on. Okay. And normally we start the show talking about love. So, love is the act that makes others feel good. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on love because we want to get as much into the meat of the culture as possible. Just remember that when you're in a relationship or when you're dealing with people, if it's not going to make the other person feel good, don't commit the act. Because it's the act that draws the emotion to them. They draw the emotion around the acts that you commit to them, okay? And if all your acts are designed to make them feel good, then you'll have a feel-good relationship all the time, all right? And that's what you want. You want a feel-good relationship all the time, all right? So remember, love is an act to make others feel good. Now, let's talk about this culture. Oh, my goodness. Your culture is not how you dance and sing, but how you relate to the universe and the God within. Right? Now, before we get all the way into the culture, let's talk about who we are. That's so important because we call ourselves everything under the sun. And I don't know if we put enough conscious thought into what we're calling ourselves. Right, I've been using the term God, but God denotes male, and then you got goddess, that's male and female. And that conscious energy that lives inside that meat suit that you're walking around claiming to be, that conscious person, that conscious deity, I use the term deity because that could be male or female, all right? I don't like to separate the genders because that decreases our conscious reality of who we really are. That conscious energy that lives inside that shell, that meat suit that you're walking around in, is both male and female, all right? So when you call yourself male, when you call yourself female, you do yourself a disservice because they have already programmed people to treat you based on whether you call yourself a male or a female, all right? So you really want to get out of that practice, and you want to keep your mind focused on who you really are. You are a deity, God, goddess. I don't use those terms no more because they corrupt every darn thing. So we're deity, and that's how we're supposed to be treating and relating each other to deity. Well, you might say, where in the world do you get these notions from, brother? I'm a Bible thumper because that Bible is so powerful if you know how to read it. We are all gods, just the Most High. That's what it says in the Bible. It tells you you are gods. That's what you are. And you have to begin to relate yourself as that. Now, as deity, right? Your culture is supposed to be cosmological. It's not supposed to be land-based. No land-based, no continent accurately describe who you really are because you are connected to the entire cosmos. Your power flows from the entire cosmos. That's who you are. Now, what culture that we should be under that relates to the entire cosmos? It might sound simple, yes, because they have convoluted our minds and they have downplayed the culture to the point that we can't see what it is, but your actual nature is reap what you sow. I know you say, wait a minute, I've heard that 1,000 times. But if you think, when you begin to think about reap what you sow, it's actually sowing sin. That's what it is. Sin is not something negative. Oh, he's a sinner, that's more hype. Sin is the result you get from sowing. That's why I said we're all born in sin, because we sow. The man and woman get together and sow, and the sin, that's the baby, that's the child. So the child is good or bad, but the child is the result from you sowing. So it's actually sowing sin. I just thought, you're hearing things in a way that you haven't heard or that you haven't heard before. But I'm here to give you these messages so that you can begin relating yourself to who you really are, okay? Stop calling yourselves men and women. That's not who you are. These are meat suits that you're wearing, functioning in for, 70, 80 years? But you guys, some of you guys are hundreds of years old. You don't know it because you don't know how to get into that God conscious or that deity conscious, which connects you to your ancestors. Your ancestors are not physical. They're not land-based. They're cosmological. So to connect with your ancestors, you have to begin to relate yourself as a cosmological being, because that's what you are. Every title that you give yourself, there's a system prepared by the 1% to go with that. Right? When you call yourself, when you call yourself president, there's a whole system that goes with that. All right? But now I'm getting to the system. Maybe one day we will, but we're not going to get into that today. When you call yourself a king, there's a whole system that goes with that. Are you promoting that system of the king, and only the king's family can become rulers of the country? All right? And then when you call yourself a queen, only the queen's children can become princes and queens to rule a country. Think about the system that you're putting when you call yourself something. When you call yourself a dictator, okay, there's a whole system to go with being a dictator. Whatever title that you're giving yourself, there's a system that goes with that, and you have to reflect on that system. The king and queen system didn't work for us, right? That's why we lost the world, because we switched from the deity system, which is what we were, treating each other as equals, okay? Not leading each other mentally, but preparing to lead yourself. This is the problem. They've gotten us to the point that we think we have to follow somebody. Why? Once you learn how to cross the street, why you need somebody to hold your hand to walk you across the street? You know, nobody knows better what you want, what your family want, what you need in that house than you do. So why you got to go to somebody else to have them lead you around the corner? You don't have to do that. Each one of us have to become a leader, but a leader of yourself. If we're both going in the same direction, then we can go together. But if I'm going to Massachusetts and you're going to Washington, don't try to convince me to go where you're going, because that might not be beneficial for me. You see what I'm saying? So if we're going in the same direction, we can go together, but not leading each other, but going together as a group or as a company, as family, or however you want to say it. But we can go together. Not as one person having to dictate to the other person what. I'm going to say something here. I know some of this you've heard before, okay? But now, some of you, because you've heard the show before, some of you have heard me say it before, but I want to spend as much time on culture as possible, okay? When you get, when you start thinking about reap what you sow, they call, when you put two chemicals together, they're calling it science. Just read what you sow. Two chemicals make a reaction. There's sowing and there's an action that coming from the two chemicals being together. They put math on it to measure the output or the sowing of the chemicals. They're calling it science, but it's just read what you sow. Think about it. They've taken your culture. That's your culture. when you go out into the cosmos, okay, if the Earth is going around the sun, okay, it has to show a certain speed to maintain to maintain the distance of the Earth around the sun. That's reap what you sow. What do they call it? Oh, cosmological. They're changing the names of everything so that you don't recognize your own culture. You done been there with all of this, thousands of years ago, all the stuff that they're doing right now. You've been through all this. Then they come, oh, well, this is rocket science. What is rocket science? Put two chemicals together, having a reaction. You put it in a container, you measure the reaction, and when the reaction takes place, the container takes off. The rocket takes off. You know what I mean? Oh, there's a rocket. No, it's what you sow. See, and when your children are in the kitchen, you're in the kitchen, you're cooking, making a cake or whatever you're making, okay? That's chemistry, man, okay? That's what you do. That's what they're calling science. Show your children that is chemistry. You put the two chemicals together, whether it's baking powder and flour and eggs and milk and whatever you're putting together, there's going to be a reaction from those chemicals. So you're going to reap what you've sown from putting those chemicals together, all right? That reaping and sowing is a cake. It's the same thing when you eat. Your diet, everything comes under that culture of reap what you sow. When you eat, we did health last week. Why are you eating? Are you eating to lose weight? Are you eating to gain weight? Are you eating to build muscles? Are you eating for good health? Are you eating because you're just hungry and you have to eat to keep from dying? Are you eating to extend your life? Every 7 years, right? Every 7 years, every molecule in the body is replaced. Now, based on why you're eating, that what depends on what you're sowing in the stomach, which is your oven, so that you can reap the benefit of a healthy body or a sick body. Are you reaping defective cells or healthy cells? See, this is reap what you sow, because it comes down to why you're doing what you're doing, okay? When you act a certain way, that's human behavior. That's a science of behavior. No, that's what we come up with. My eye, that's the social ramifications of reap what you sow. I ain't killing nobody because I don't want nobody to kill me. I'm not stealing nobody's stuff because I don't want anybody to steal mine. What you sow. You understand what I'm saying? They don't turn it into some kind of religion. When you get into your culture of reap what you sow, there is no religion. What does deity need with a religion? Your deity. You know what I mean? Who are you going to call? You go inside yourself for the answers, because all the answers are there inside you. But you got to go in there to get them, okay? Now, I'm going to say one thing right now before you get away from me. When you send your child to school and you tell your child you're going to school to get smart, you're giving the power, you're taking the power from your child and giving it to the teacher. When your child is smart coming out the womb, so your child ain't going to school to become smart. Your child is going to school because they are smart. And if the child is flunking them tests, it's not the child's fault, it's the teacher. Because the teacher is not giving that smart child the proper tools in that classroom to pass them tests. You follow what I'm saying? If you got a good teacher, almost every child in the class passes. You got a bad teacher, very few children pass. All the children are smart. Ain't no dumb children going to these schools. You follow what I'm saying? They call dumbing down the children. But what they're doing, they're not giving the child the proper information the way the child's supposed to have it to pass the test. Because, trust me, it ain't but so much room at the top. So they make sure that somebody's working at McDonald's, somebody's working at Geno's, somebody's cleaning the airport. They have to have people to do all those things. So if everybody comes out of school with a master's degree in something, these you come out with a master's degree, you ain't trying to find a job at the airport cleaning the toilets. I don't think so. So they have to gear everything because they're guaranteeing the businesses people to work there. That's what's going on, okay? This is how the whole class system has been set up. Everything is set up based on what you saw. They have taken your culture. They're using your culture against you because you don't know what the culture is. And it's not your fault that you don't know what the culture is because you're smart. If you don't know what the culture is, it's because the people that have been teaching and training you haven't been giving you the information. That's why we can't read the Bible. They took the Bible and conquered the known world. We thrown it in the trash. What are they reading in that Bible, okay, that we're not getting? The other day I was on Brother Mac's show. We talked about Moses. I think last week we talked about Moses, the story of Moses. We weren't about whether it's Tutmosis and he was an Egyptian. And who cares? Did you get the message from the story? He disconnected himself from the economic system of the enemy and created an economic system of his own. That was the point of the story. The people took 10% of their earnings and gave it to the Levites. That created a central banking system for the tribes. And that's how they were able to build the houses and the structures and the roads and all that. You know what I'm saying? The same thing is going on today. Think about it. The U.S. dollar is based on a central banking system that Moses set up, okay? And Iran decided, hey, you're going to put sanctions on me. I'm not going to use the dollar no more. That disconnects him from his enemy's central banking system. Now he's using the ruble. He's using the yen. Now in the United States, they're scrambling. What in the world has this man done? I'm starting these wars out here. Everything that they're doing, everything that they have set up was left to you by your ancestors in the books. That's why they're scrambling. They're all over the world looking for scrolls and texts or whatever they can find to help them run this society, because you already have the information because you're coming from a global empire. Well, it wasn't an empire. Lemurians didn't call it an empire, but you're coming from a global system with equality, reciprocity, justice. Okay, when they came into Africa where we were back in the day, well, no jails there. Why? Because the social structure that we had set up through the teachings of Ma'at, I mentioned Ma'at is not a religion. Those of you who think Ma'at is a religion, it's not. It's the social structure that goes with reap what you sow. It's part of your culture. That's what it is. Not whether you can dance and sing, if you got masks on, or you're no, that's not your culture. Okay? Your culture is reap what you sow. I keep saying it over and over because I kind of wanted to sink in. If you put this culture, your culture, you can put this on everything in this society, and it breaks the society down. It makes it easy to see what these guys are doing. Okay, they change the language, create these big fancy words, you know, and you go in, you try to talk to them, and they throw these big words on you, okay, that's to confuse you. But everything is very simple. It's not complicated at all. That's why we were able to build the pyramids, because based on our culture, everything became pretty darn simple. It became pretty easy. You know, if you throw a ball at the wall at a certain speed, okay, you're going to reap the repercussion from that ball hitting the wall at that speed, all right? That's going to come back at you. Whatever force you throw it, that's what you're going to get back. That's reaping what you sow. And based on how hard you want the ball to come back, you bring mathematics into it. Now you put mathematics on reap what you sow. While I throw it at 50 miles an hour this time, and it came back, it wasn't fast enough. I'm going to throw it at 60 miles an hour this time. Now you're putting math on reap what you sow, and you're getting consistency. Same thing when you're in the house and you're baking. You put one cup of flour, three eggs, two tablespoons of baking soda, or three teaspoons of vanilla, and you put the oven in at 350 degrees. You're putting mathematics on the chemicals that you're putting together to reap what? A nice old cake. That cake come out perfect every time because you're using mathematics on reap what you sow. Okay? When you put chemicals together, you don't have to use mathematics, but you won't get consistency. So you're going to get that reaction no matter what. If you put these chemicals together, that reaction is coming, whether the cake flows or whether it don't rise far enough, but that reaction is going to take place. But to control the reaction, that's where your mathematics comes in. Now, there's that's based on your actions, okay? Now you have the social implication of how you react with each other. And we had something set up that was so beautiful that we didn't mistreat each other. The children were beautiful. You can have a prearranged marriage with your child because the children have perfect manners. They treat each other perfect because they know that they were God. They were deity. Like Lucy held the baby up. Man, ain't nothing greater than you except what's up there, you know, because they knew. They knew who they were, and they knew that they're carrying power. They didn't do a whole lot of praying. They meditated on what they wanted to bring it to them. Now what do they do to you? They tell you, oh, boy, we got this CD that's called The Secret. It's the greatest thing in the world. Get the secret. What you think about you, bring them up. Yeah, that's what you sow, man. You know what I'm saying? They're selling you back your own culture because you don't know what your culture is. Yeah, what you think about, you bring about. That's why we meditate. We meditate on what we want, and the cosmos, through action and reaction, will begin to manipulate things and bring that to you. You can have whatever you want, but now you got to be careful. My mama used to say, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. You know what I mean? Make sure that what you're asking for is really what you want, okay? Now, let's talk about the slave for a second, all right? But first, I'd like to thank everybody for being on the line. All right, we almost have to halfway mark. Thank those that are calling in. I really appreciate you calling in. Let me know I'm not here by myself. I'm going to have somebody listening that want to hear some of this cosmological stuff because I'm not saying anything that's new to you. I'm not saying anything that you don't already know. I'm just giving it to you in a way that fits with your culture. Of reap what you sow. That's all I'm doing. None of this is new. You've heard all this before, but you haven't heard it this way. Now you're getting it this way. Now you can assimilate it much easier because it's a part of who you are. See? Just like we tying ourselves to these landmass. Well, I'm an African. I'm a Haitian. I'm a Chinese. I'm a Frenchman. The whole cosmos belongs to you. All that real estate out there. You wonder why there's such a drive to get out there? They want to see their real estate. They want to visit their real estate holdings because it all belongs to you. Yeah, you're supposed to be out there. They say, why are we here? When you're dealing with the culture, read what you saw. You know why you're here. You're supposed to be maintaining all that stuff that you put up out there because you put all that stuff up out there. You say, oh, boy, you're going out of his mind now. I think we did that. Think about it for a minute. Let's just stop for a second, right? The moon is a satellite that travels around the Earth. Do we have satellites up there? Yes, we do. And it won't be long before we'll be able to put up satellites made out of our Earth, made from the material that's coming in through the asteroids. We'll be able to put up satellites like that will reflect more light from the moon. That we are unlimited. When I was little, we used to watch Joe Louis, listen to Joe Louis on the radio because we didn't have TVs. Now, you're flipping your phone. Ain't that what they showed you on Star Trek? They show you where they're going, but you know what I mean? You got your little flip phone. You got the little Dick Tracy watch show where you can talk through the Dick Tracy thing. There's no limit to what deity can do. And once you upgrade, stop calling yourself men and women and acting like the program, the way that a man and woman are supposed to act, you know. Sure, the females bring the babies in, yes, you know. And sure, the males, they sow into that to make sure that baby's coming through, you know. And the two of them are supposed to be there to make sure that that baby is. That's how you spread, you know. And it takes, the deities need to be together in a loving manner based on, based on your actions, see? If your actions correspond with your culture, the way it was given to you through what they call ma'at, all right, your relationship will be beautiful. But if you don't understand, if you can't see what that ma'at is part of your culture and not a religion, really the Ten Commandments, that's all part of your culture. Follow what I'm saying? Yahshua said the same thing. He gave you the same commandment. Don't kill, don't cheat, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery on your partner. All that's part of your culture. That's what kept the family so strong. That's what kept us so tight. That's what kept us together for so long. You follow what I'm saying? Like, once again, I want to thank everybody for calling in. I appreciate you calling in. And we're just about to halfway mark, and I've been running my face here. So let me do a little commercial here and mention a couple of shows that I like, shows that I visit as often as I can. You know, but since I've changed my schedule, there's other shows that I wasn't able to be like a little co-host or take a presence on the show, but I will be able to now, you know. I like to, this is the Elohim Speaks Radio Hour every Sunday now from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, okay? Also, I have a CD on the market, gospel CD, okay? You can go on YouTube and check out Elohim Christ, 10 tracks, and you'll be able to listen to the CD. I produce the whole CD myself. I like doing things myself. It's kind of strange. Also, we have the Sister Tahara Show. That's on Thursday through Friday at 7 to 8 p.m. And it's a very nice show. I like the show. I like where she's coming from. I like the things she's saying. The brother dealing with Lindsay, very knowledgeable brother. You need to get a piece of him, you know. Now, I call in at 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time when I call in, okay? The call-in number for that show is 917-889-8059, okay? Now you have the Legacy of a Nation. That's Brother Matt and Son 752, because I've been announcing Brother Matt to not mention his son, 7752. And I'll keep remembering, there's two guys there on that show, you know? The call-in number for that show is 319-527-6199. That's the Legacy of a Nation, hosted by Brother Matt, co-hosted by his son, 7752. And then we have the spoken word. You know, Sister has the spoken word. She comes on. She's on YouTube. So just go and look up the spoken word, and you'll get some pretty nice words. It's called a spoken word, and you can listen to her. I like what she be saying sometimes. Plus, she sells T-shirts and stuff like that there, so you can support her, and you can get all the information from YouTube when you go on spoken word, okay? I need to call her to get more information about her so I can put some numbers out on her, but we'll get there, okay? Now, for those of you who are on the line, if you have something to say, if you want to make a comment or something, or if you have some opposing point of view or whatever you have, all you have to do is press 1. My mics, everything is working today. So I'll be able to plug you in and let you and let you give whatever comment you have or you ever want to say, okay? So we're talking about culture because that's so important. Now, right now, as we get into that slave, right? Your physical body is a slave. I know, that word, slave. But your physical body is a slave. And you are constantly in a slave-master relationship all the time. Because that physical body will do whatever you tell it to do once you realize that you're living in the body and you are not the body. You are in control of the body. You'll be in control of that body for as long as you're here, whether it be 80 years, 90 years, maybe even 100 years, you know. Once we get into the next portion, you might eat a certain way, okay, to create that perfect self. Constantly in a slave-master relationship. That slave will do whatever you tell it to do. And the power of this physical realm is to whoever controls the slave. That's why the 1% works so hard with mind control and TV shows, and they're trying to get you as a child. They start programming you early so that they can control the slave. That slave go all the way through Harvard and come out with a resume looking for a job. What kind of education that you go through at the top of it, and you come out not creating jobs, but looking for a job. You know, you're coming out not to become IBM, but to work for IBM. Something's wrong with that picture. See what I'm saying? But once you realize that your deity, now they got so many concepts of what God is and what God is supposed to do and all that. Somebody said, well, God is supposed to be all knowing and all seeing. They know that. What do you think the surveillance cameras are for? They know they physically can't see everybody on the planet, so they set up the cameras because they know they're supposed to be watching every doggone thing. It's God's responsibility to make people pay for their crime. Somebody has taken on the position of God. So when you commit a crime, they don't go nowhere and pray and meditate for somebody to come out from the sky to come and get you. They send the popo. They send a SWAT team after you. They send the military after you if they have to, whatever they have to do to get you to pay for their crime, because they know, hey, I'm in the position of God, and if you commit a crime, it's my job to make you pay for it. So when these people are committing crimes like they're committing on black people out there, you know, they're committing crimes on everybody. But let's just talk about black people for a minute. When they're committing these crimes on there, it's your responsibility to make them pay for it. You look around and say, oh, boy, how can I make these people pay for their crimes? You know, once you realize who you are, you can figure a way. You can find a way to make them pay for their crime because it's your responsibility, because you are a deity. That's who you are. You know what I mean? I've never been on a march, never went on a picket sign. Telling you who I am. You know what I mean? When I get ready for them to pay for their crimes, they're going to pay for their crimes, trust me. And when I get ready for them to pay for them, they're going to pay for them. But you have to deal with the reality of what you're saying. See, I'm dealing with the reality of what I'm saying. I've been to war. I know what it's like. Shooting, killing, murdering people out there. I know what it's like. You know, I know the horrors of war. War is a horrible experience. For those who've been through it, they know what I'm talking about, okay? So when you put yourself in the mind of God and you decide you're going to make somebody pay for something, you have to think about how you're going to do it, because a lot of innocent lives can be lost when you're going after the perpetrator of the crime. That's how the 1% guy is set up, because they know that once you consciously, subconsciously, you're in your culture all the time, subconsciously. You might not know it, but you're in your culture. You're in your culture all the time. This is why you have so much compassion for other people and things that's going on around you, because it's a part of your culture. It's a part of your natural culture. That's who you are, okay? And they know that. They use that. They play on that. Because let's say now the queen. I'll mention the queen. They're going to be on me later on, but who cares? I mentioned the queen. She has committed quite a few crimes, big-time crimes. So has the Pope. So has Washington, D.C. The three nation states that's running the planet, okay? They have committed so many crimes. But now when you think about it, when you're thinking about what Hitler had to go through to go after the queen and her crew, 50 million people lost their lives, okay? Now you say, well, that's not, when you think about what they did to us, we lost 100 million people during the slaves, during the race war. But that's what that was. That was a race war, because you were running the planet, and they wanted control of the planet. All right, it took them 800 years to get out from under black rule. All right, but they finally did it, and they want to make sure that they never go under black rule again. And you have to realize that there was atrocities committed by you once you went away from your culture. We're talking about this was you weren't in actually under your culture all the way back pre-Kemet. You have to go back pre-Kemet before you can really find the real culture again. But once we came into Kemet, we adopted the king and queen concept. And we went into, oh, man, only that family could rule, and everybody else was. Then we set up a class system where you had, where you can't be a prince, you can't be a queen, because you can't be a prince or princess because your mother didn't sleep with the king. And it got to be a mess out there, you know. And once the class system got set up, the global empire that we had, or the global system, began to break down because equality was being lost, okay? we weren't treating each other as equals. We weren't treating each other like deity because we had somebody else that was posing as deity over everybody else. And they wanted to keep that concept in your mind. Think about this for a minute. I don't care what religion you get into. I don't care what religion you join. The underlying concept of all the religions is you were created. Think about it. Now, once you get into your culture, you'll understand, you'll see that energy cannot be created or destroyed. That's a fact, okay? So if energy cannot be created or destroyed, how were you created? You weren't. You can cut a tree down and make a table. You made the table. You can't create the table unless you created the tree. And we didn't create the trees, okay? The trees are a part of an extension of energy that we have been using and manipulating for our own benefit, okay? You are also part of that extension. That's why when I used to listen to Donald Robert Muhammad, I said, we're all little alive. Because you know that we're all part of that energy. You are the universe expanding itself. You follow what I'm saying? There's nothing greater, nothing more powerful than you out there. And don't let nobody tell you different, okay? Don't let anybody beat you down. You know what I mean? You know, when you go to some of these prosperity churches, okay, I'm not mad at anybody who wants to live the way they live, because where they want to live, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Those that are in the prosperity churches, if you like that, then stay there. You know, that's fine. If you're comfortable, that's fine, okay? Because the prosperity church, they're banking on that subconscious reap what you sow person that's inside. They're banking on that. That's why they say, well, you give 10%, you give and you get, you give and you get. You know what I mean? They know they know that system was set up by Moses. They understand. That's just like I talk about the 50% budget. You know, well, where did he get that from? That's in the Bible too. You know, what do you think Joseph used to save Egypt? He used the 50% budget. Spend half, save half. Come on. But you're not thinking about that. They got you thinking about, oh, well, he was stuck in a hole and his family got away from him, and then he got his revenge when they came back. But you're not thinking about the motto of the story. What's the story about? The story is about economics. How to get that economics? We're talking about the 50% budget. Only live off of half of what you're making. Save the other half, okay? 7 years of grain. Save so we can eat 7 years. That's 50-50. That's the 50% budget, okay? There's so many stories in the Bible that we can use once we learn how to read the doggone thing, okay? We're looking at the tree, and we're missing a whole doggone forest. We're arguing about Yeshua's. What color was his meat suit? Who cares? What was the message he left? He said, he that eateth of me will become a son indeed, and greater works than I did you will do. So if you got the information, you can do greater than what he did. What does it matter what the heck he looked like? Don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in the message. Become greater than the God he's talking about. That's the message, okay? Become greater than that. Don't get caught up on this little meat suit that you're running around in, you know? Once you see the conscious energy that's inside the meat suit, you'll realize some of you are 500-600 years old. This ain't your first rodeo. And you begin to see that some of those in the white meat suits, they've been in black meat suits before. Some of us that are in black meat suits, we've been in white meat suits before. This is why you bump into certain people, you know? You bump into certain Caucasians, and lo and behold, they got rhythm. Where did this guy get rhythm from, man? I mean, we get caught up on the wrong things. We got to focus on the messages. Get the messages that's going to make your life better. That's going to help you create wealth. When you come out of school, the school is supposed to be teaching you how to create wealth. That's what it's all about, not how to get a job. You might get the job to go and create wealth if you're thinking in terms of creating wealth. But that's what the whole thing is all about. So my main focus today is to bring you back to reality of what your culture is, who you are, and how it relates to the cosmos. Not these little landmass that you got about. Listen to Dr. Blair and start listening to some of these metaphysical people out here. And you'll see that you are not, no modern person is indigenous to the planet. You're not indigenous to this planet. You come from the constellation Osiris. They changed that name to, it's called Orion now. But that's where you come from. That's why the pyramids are set like that. The pyramids are a message to the extraterrestrials that are coming in that there's intelligent life here, okay? They're trying to speak, but the 1% right now, they're trying to figure out how to talk to these guys, but they don't know how because they're not intelligent enough, all right? The people that built the pyramids are walking around here in their meat suits thinking that's who they are. And they're not upgrading into the mind that they're supposed to have so they can speak to their cousins and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles that are out there in those ships. Yeah, that's your crew out there. But you don't know that's your crew out there because you think that, I'm from Africa and then millions of years ago, we've got Lucy. And if you check the blood type on Lucy, this was brought to my attention by Dr. Ali Muhammad. To check the blood type. Lucy ain't human. The five indigenous people to the planet, we call Bigfoot, Sasquatch, or the Abominable Snowman, there's one more, there's a couple more, you know? They're the indigenous people of this planet. Not you. You're not indigenous to this planet. You know what I'm saying? Once again, I'd like to thank everybody for calling in. I appreciate you calling in. Let me scroll down here and see who we got here. I got the run of my face. I don't even know who's on the line. Oh, boy. There's Brother Max on the line. I'm going to open up Brother Max. Now, remember, if you have a comment or something, or if you have a show or whatever, because I might not recognize your number. I got a lot of numbers here. So I might not recognize your number. So if just press 1. And you can give a shout out about your show, what you have, and stuff like that there, okay? I'm going to bring Mac in, let Mac give you an idea of what the show is going to be like next week. Okay, Mac just hit me. He's at 1927. Let me open him up. He must have heard me. Okay, Brother Mac, your mic is open. Tell us a little bit about what's going on, and if you have a comment about the show or whatever, you know, well, let us know about your show. Give us some numbers.
Thank you so much. I have a couple of questions regarding reap what you sow. When I was growing up, whenever that term was used, it was usually used as a warning because whenever it was used, it was being used by someone who was warning you that you are going to have to pay for whatever it is that you are doing now. If you were sowing seeds of mischief, you were gonna reap the punishment that goes with that behavior. And when you use the term reap what you sow, I don't get that. I don't get the same thing that I got when I was a child. I don't hear you expressing a warning in a threatening manner. Am I off track here or
no? You're right on point. That's part of the program. See, they use your culture as a stick. And they left the carrot part out. See what I'm saying? Oh. So every time they give you your culture, they give it to you as a stick. They beat you up with it. But the carrot part is missing, see? And the carrot part is the fact that you're a deity and that you're connected to everything in the universe and that you can also, through meditating on what you want, make other people pay for what they have done. So there's a whole lot missing from the culture, the way they were given it to us, and it was done to me the same way. It was given to us as a stick, and they let the carrot part out. So you're absolutely right. That's what they did. That's part of the program.
Very well. Very well. It certainly raises questions that in a way that I hadn't really had any reason to think about. I got to say, you raise more questions than you give answers, because I was listening when you said, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, and you're right. However, we know things that we don't know. We know things that we don't know that you know.
I get it.
for instance, when you say they stole our culture, and then they sell it back to us, but they sell it back to us, but they leave out the keystone.
Yeah, leave out the carrot.
And don't mention that what they're selling to us belonged to us already. And that it was taken away, and now it's being sold back to you, but without the key ingredients. Say, for instance, they're selling you the ingredients for a cake, but they leave out the butter. And so without the butter, you don't really have a cake. Well, let's say they leave out the sugar, they leave out the sweetener. And so when you put the ingredients together in the form that they have told you, you say this doesn't really taste all that good, and it's not all that different from bread. Because they had left out the key ingredient that makes the difference between bread and cake, that sweetener.
Absolutely. So this is what they're doing with everything. The reward to sow mindset fits to everything throughout the cosmos. I don't care what they're doing it. The reap what you sow concept fits with all of that. You bring mathematics in to measure what's going on so that you can get some type of consistency of what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Now, they know that they don't want to be on the black rule no more. So everything they're doing is designed to keep them in power. And to keep you from gaining back the knowledge that you once had to master your power. Your power is within, not from without. See, this is why with Moses, he had to get away from the crew and go up on the mountain and go inside himself to find out what was up.
Yeshua
had to do the same thing. Muhammad had to do the same thing. They had to go inside to that God within. And once they locked on to that God within, everything opened up to them. They could see everything, you know? And we can't see everything because we're clinging to the flesh and not to what's controlling the flesh. See, that God within is what's controlling the flesh, and the knowledge and the wisdom is with the God within. Somebody asked a question, I think it was last week maybe, I heard on TV or whatever, they said, what is wisdom? So there's no such thing as wisdom. But, you know, this is what I'm talking about. See, the thought process to get them into what they really need to know. You're born with wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make the mistake and learn from it. That's wisdom. You know? They say, well, I'm not perfect because I make mistakes. No, you're perfect because you make mistakes. That's part of how you learn. That's how you gain your wisdom. You gain your wisdom through your mind. And you can get ahead of the curve by learning the mistakes of the ones that come before you, That's where the Bible and the other books come in. They made mistakes. There's a lot of mistakes in the Bible, and you're supposed to be learning from those mistakes. This is what gives you your wisdom. But we're not getting it like that. See, they don't give us this information because they don't tie the information to our culture. And until you tie it to the culture, most of the information that they're giving us is abstract. You know, you can take it or leave it alone. It doesn't have no real bearing on your life and where you're going, you know. This is why we're so confused. This is why we're so messed up out there, you know. You want to give us the information about your show and what's going on with that on Saturday?
Well,
I know your show is the day before mine.
Very briefly, Legacy of a Nation comes on for an hour every Saturday, rain, shine, sleet, or snow. And it's an interactive show, and we talk on four main topics, one each week. And the four main topics are health, history, politics, and economics. These four areas we feel that we need to know more about, because these are the areas that a nation of people 50 million strong need to know about, so that someday they may even find out who they are and reclaim that which is theirs. When you speak of reap what you sow and how our knowledge has been taken away from us and sold back to us, well, we're saying that we're Aborigines. We are natives. We are indigenous to the lands of the Americas and the Caribbean islands, and that we were here when Columbus came in 1492. We were here thousands and thousands of years before. We even predate the people who are in the Americas now. That's North America, Central America, and South America, and that they are our ancestors, and we need to come into the knowledge that that is the case, and we need to come to the realization that our land and our story has been taken away from us and has been bred out of us, and we have been told that we are a people who are descended from the slaves of that were stolen from Africa, and that is the end of our story. And in the Americas, it starts on the plantations of the South. And Legacy of a Nation says, no, that's not the case. We were already here, and you made war on our ancestors, and you made the prisoners prisoners of war. You made them slaves, and you told them that they came from Africa, thereby disenfranchising them and taking away the knowledge that they were already here, and that this is our land, has always been. But we don't know, because after 500 years and more than 20 generations, that knowledge has been lost. And Legacy of a Nation is attempting to bring back that knowledge of who we are and how we got to be the way that we are. And we're on from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the studio number is 319-527-1699. And then from 6 to 7 p.m. every Saturday, rain, shine, sleet, or snow. The show coming up next Saturday will be on health. We're going to talk about how to gain health and how to maintain health. And we particularly slanted toward we Aborigines. How do we gain health? Because the foods that we eat that are genetically modified are not good for us, and so we talk about why that is the case. and we talk about how you might minimize or reduce the intake of foods that are not good for us, and how you might increase the amount and number of foods that are good for us. And so, thank you very much, Brother Elohim, for
you're welcome, Brother Mac, and we appreciate you being here. Appreciate you being on the air every week, doing what you do. Same thing with Sister Tahira and Sister. Her name would come to my mind. I was so embarrassed. Yeah, Sister Tammy, that's Brother Willam's sister. She has a spoken word show out there. Boy. How embarrassing, right? But we appreciate y'all being on the air, doing what you do, you know, trying to bring some information to everybody. And so right now, I'd like to let everybody know that if you do have a comment or you want to shout out or say something, you can press 1 and that will let me know that you have something to say. And I'll open up your mic and you can speak, and then we can go on. Now, the last portion of this, because last week we went into health, but I just spent a couple of minutes that's going to take us into Max Show next week, right? I want to just talk about how to reduce the aging process, okay? Now, we talked about read what you saw. This is how I come up with the thought process of how to reduce the aging process. Yes, the stomach is an oven. And the stomach, when you put the food in the stomach, it makes what we call a molecule. That's what it does. The stomach is designed to produce perfect molecules so that as you eat perfectly, the perfect molecules will come out. And then over that 7-year period, your system will be producing perfect molecules and not defective molecules, and you won't be getting sick. You'll barely get sick, barely have to go to the hospital and doctors and all that. The people that used to raise on farms, they have a better idea about all that because they are raised growing the food. So what I'm saying is that I've come up with a diet that will virtually reduce the aging process, you know, and it's working with me. Now I noticed that when I work hard, the body, because I've been eating so bad growing up as a child and going through everything with the 3-meal-a-day diet that the system is pushing, that my body is actually out of whack. So as it's beginning to reverse the aging process, I notice that there's a strain on the body. And when I work real hard, right, I can feel the competition between the healing and repairing of the strain and reducing the aging process and pushing that perfect cell out. So it's kind of interesting how the whole thing works. But my gray hair is beginning to turn black on my face, on my hair. My hairline is no longer receding. So the whole thing is that to make that perfect cell, you need all of the ingredients in your we only got 90 seconds. I'm going to speed this up a little bit. You need all of the ingredients in your body at the same time. Now, I've come up with 5 vegetables that work pretty good. That would be broccoli, string beans, Brussels sprouts, collard greens, and there's one more, and peas, green peas. Those 5 vegetables contain close to 80 of the nutrients that the body needs. And if you eat them, I take 1 cup of each, and I eat them at the same time. When I do that, okay, that gives me everything I need in the body right then to make that cell. Okay? Now, if you don't eat something else later on in the day, that's fine too, okay? But you have to think of what you're doing. If I eat anything later on in the day, it will be fruit. I make a fruit smoothie out of 14 different fruits, okay? And I do that. And I noticed that I was trying to get the rice to get my bran, the brown rice, but I'm switching. I'm putting the bran cereal and raisins in my fruit smoothie. And that'll keep me from eating the rice because rice is grass. We really want to get away from the grass. That's beans, corn, rice, and flour. we want to get away from those particular things as much as possible. But that will reduce the aging process, okay? But you, we only got 10 seconds. So, Brother Mac, thank you, and I can thank everybody else for being on the line. I appreciate you being here. This is your host, Brother Elohim, and we're here every Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. from now on, because I have so much going on during the. And the call-in number is 516-453-9230. Okay, you can also go on Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to some of the other shows that have archived. There's about 50 shows now that you can go and listen to that have been archived as far as Elohim Speaks, and they will be able to come up. You can download them, save them, or whatever you want to do with them, okay? But in the meantime, I want to thank you so much. And remember, no matter where you go, what you do, that somebody loves you, okay? And we will chat again next week.
Peace, brother. Be well.
Peace.